Hi children, it is that time that we have another Bible lesson. Today we will continue on with the Israelites in the desert, but today we will talk about the 12 spies in the Promised Land. Now, as you remember, I always try to encourage you guys to picture these things as we go through them. These Bible verses, the lives that people have lived during the times of the Bible, during the times of the Moses to be specific. And in this sense, I want you to once again close your eyes and picture this. Once again, you are one of the 2 million people who have just been freed from slavery in Egypt. After spending your entire life in slavery, you are free for the first time. And you are following Moses out of Egypt into the desert. You hope that Moses knows where he is going because you don't. Moses leads you to the edge of the Red Sea, but you get mad because you don't see a way across. And then eventually God uses Moses to part the Red Sea right in front of your eyes, and you walk across dry land. You have heard that Moses is going to take you to the Promised Land, but you have no idea where that is or what it even looks like. At this point, you are in the middle of a desert. You have no idea where you are and you don't know where to go. It might have seemed for a while like Moses was in control of the situation, but now it is obvious that he is not. You are lost in the middle of a desert. What has God done? Why are you in the middle of the desert with no idea where to go? What is Moses supposed to do? Can he find a sign that says Promised Land this way? Or Promised Land next exit? Does he even have a road to follow? He does not. Moses and 2 million freed slaves are in the middle of the desert and have no idea where to go. Then God does something amazing. God shows them that even in this difficult place, He is in total control. We read in Exodus 13:21, it says, "By the day, Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night." God sends them a cloud, GPS, to guide the Israelites who are finally free through the desert. The clouds would not only provide direction, but likely they would also provide a relief from the desert. During the day, the pillar of cloud probably gave them a decent shade from the hot desert sun. And if you've ever been to the desert before, I haven't, but did you know that at night it gets very, very cold? So the pillar of fire would have kept them warm during those cold nights. Even with the cloud and the fire, God is showing that He is in complete control. As if that weren't enough, God does something else. If you ever had an animal before, like maybe a dog, how did you train that animal to learn that you were in control? How did you teach your dog to listen to you? When you told him to sit the first time, did he listen? I know my dog didn't. No matter how many times you told your dog to sit, he did not listen to you. But then you showed him that you had a treat in your hand. And all of a sudden, your dog listens. When you told him to sit, he sat. You teach your dog that you are in control through food. A very similar thing happens here. God is going to show the Israelites He is in control through their food. Now, I know it was probably a silly way to explain or to compare Israelites to some animals, but that is probably the easiest way for us to understand. Exodus 16:4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you.' Bread comes from the sky and water comes from the rock." This is definitely God, because I've never seen bread fall from heaven. or water coming out of the rock, I don't want you to think that big loaves of bread were falling from the sky. God would rain down little seeds every day. The people would collect lots of these seeds, grind them up, and make their bread from that. And this bread was pretty tasty. And if you remember, in our last lessons, I mentioned that in Psalms, manna is described as the bread of angels. But it wasn't too long until the people started to complain. And this did not go very well with God. People said, in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 4, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." They were literally wishing to go back to Egypt and be slaves instead of having God take care of them on the way to the promised land. God gives them what they want. He sends over 2 feet of quail to cover the desert floor. The people are thrilled, but God is not happy with the way they have been complaining. So He caused many of them to get very sick from the quail meat. God has shown them over and over that He is in control and that He is taking care of them, but they still complain and wish for a different life. Eventually, they get to the edge of the promised land. Moses sends 12 spies to go check it out. Even though God has promised this land to them, they want to check it out for themselves first. When the spies come back, they bring back 2 different views or opinions. And as we read in Book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27, it says, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is it its fruits." And at this point, everyone was very excited. This is sounding like a very good place to live. They see the huge vine of grapes, and they're very amused at such things even capable of growing. But then the spies continue to talk. As we continue reading in the next verse, it says, "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." After getting people's hopes up, they say it's not worth it because the land is full of giants and people who will defeat them if they try to take the cities for themselves. In other words, the Israelites are saying there are some really good things in the promised land, but God isn't in control and He can't take care of giants for us. At this point, all the people start to talk and worry and wonder why they ever came. Caleb, though, who was also one of the spies, spoke. Next verse in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, he says, "Silence! We should go up and take the possession of the land, for we are certainly to do it." Caleb is the only one that is convinced that God can do what He said He would do. Caleb is the only one that is convinced that God is in control. The people get so mad at Caleb for thinking that they can take the city by themselves that they talk about stoning him. They're furious at Caleb. The problem is, God is angry at them for not believing that He can take care of this situation. So He sends the Israelites back into the desert where they came from and wandered around for the next 40 years. Everyone over 20 years old will die before the people have a chance to enter into the promised land again. God proved to 2 million slaves by taking them out of Egypt, by parting the Red Sea, by giving them cloud GPS, by feeding them bread from the sky, and by many, many other ways, that He was in control. Yet, for their disbelief, God sends them back into the desert to die. God proved to them over and over again that He could take care of them, but they still didn't believe Him. Do you believe that God is in control of your life? When things don't go the way you want them to, when your friends pick on you, when you have to repeat a grade in school, when people don't like you, do you still believe that God will take care of you? Do you believe that God is in control? He is. And just like the Israelites, He will always take care of you. All you need to do is trust. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to You for being our God, for being one and only God who is almighty and all-powerful, the one and only God who is always in control and who always wants to take care of us. Father, we are so thankful to You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we are very thankful for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank You so much for being so patient with us. And please forgive us when we have difficulties believing You, when we struggle to trust You. I pray that You would help us and guide us and teach us how to be believing Christians and how to trust You in every single step of our life. Please bless the children, Lord, as they hear this lesson and as they think about it and as they discuss it with their families. Open up the truth to them, Lord, so that they may also get to know You and love You and walk with You every single day. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And here are some questions for you guys to discuss. Question number one. There's probably multiple answers for this one, so see how many you can get. How did God show to the Israelites that He is in control? There are many ways that God has done so. Question number two. How many spies did Moses send into the Promised Land? Question number three. What was so scary about this promised land that got people worried? Question number four. When Israelites started to complain about how good Egypt was and how bad the food in desert is, what did they want to do? And question number five. This one is more open question. What are some of the things that you can say you trust God with? Also, a short announcement. I will be traveling next weekend, so we unfortunately won't have a Bible lesson. But as soon as I'm back, the following weekend after, we will resume with the lessons. Thank you very much and be blessed.